This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, so the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello everybody and welcome to episode number 290 of the Stacey West podcast. I am your host Ben, and this week I'm joined by Charlie. How are you doing, mate? Are we keeping well?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Obviously down in Reading yesterday for the game, and I stayed over down there as well. In fact, bumped into a couple of podcast listeners, which was quite nice in town as well. And yeah, don't get me wrong, a little bit fragile today. Obviously, it's a Sunday after a night out after the football, but no, really, really enjoyable day. And look, obviously, we'll go into the game in a little bit more detail as we go, but that overriding feeling today is I'd have taken a draw at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And, you know, spoiler alerts, we drew. And I don't know, I felt this weird deflated feeling for a bit straight after the game. Like, I don't think it was just necessarily the result, but maybe the performance as well. It just wasn't quite there. And I'm thinking, is this going to have been a missed opportunity with Oxford winning as well?
Yeah.
But I'm looking back on it now, and you know what? Reasonably chirpy again. So I'm in a happy mood.
Yeah, no, I think I'd probably agree. I mean, you say you bumped into a couple of podcast listeners. I just wanted to share a little tale from earlier in the week. I was in one of our offices at work, and I had to just pop in and sort a couple of bits out. Walked into an office that I very, very rarely go into a bunch of people that I've never seen before in my life, and was greeted by, you're Ben from the podcast. I was like, yeah, I'm here to sort something out for the computers. But yeah, that was a bit of a strange moment. So yeah, I just want to give Andy a bit of a shout out if he's listening. It was a very, very strange moment. But yeah, I mean, look, let's talk about Reading. Obviously, there isn't a huge amount to talk about outside the game today, so it may be that the pod doesn't go for the full hour and 10 or whatever. Anyway, I mean, Chris isn't on it anyway, so it won't go.
We'll make it plenty.
I say we won't be dragging it out too much, but yeah, obviously going into the game yesterday, I think there was a little bit of trepidation. I know me and Chris, when we did our we spoke about the run-in a few weeks ago. I think we both pegged this one down as a draw. And I think going into it, I was probably more apprehensive about this one than other games that we have in the run. Primarily because Reading looked really, you know, they looked like a decent side when they were at Central Bank earlier on in the season. I mean, obviously, the points deductions put them in a slightly false position. They'd probably be comfortably mid-table if it weren't for that. But yeah, I think going into it, there was a bit of trepidation. And I think we started really, really brightly. You know, came out the traps, and I think early doors, I think Rico Hackett could have put us 1-0 up within 20 seconds, but his shot went wide. And then I think really for the first 10, 15, we looked like we were well on top. And to be honest with you, I thought with maybe one pass more or a little bit more clinical finishing, we probably could and should have been out of sight within 20 minutes of that game yesterday. But, you know, we weren't. And, yeah, it seemed like Reading started to come back into it pretty soon after that. And I think the first half was a decent first half and fairly evenly matched. So, yeah, I mean, how did you see it from where you were?
Well, it's really difficult because sat in the stand, it felt like there wasn't too many opportunities either way, really. Like, we obviously had a couple, and I mean, that first one with Rico, it's on his weaker foot. He's sort of facing away from goal. He's got to try and bend his foot all the way around to get it in. It's not anything more. It's not even a half chance. It's more of a quarter chance, if we're being totally honest with it. And I think that kind of just set up that for that first half. There were those few sort of chances, but nothing really major. And the same with Reading. They managed to get a couple of opportunities reasonably early on. I think we'll talk about their biggest opportunity in a second as well. But they just didn't really look at it too much. But we really, really didn't. There was... Yeah. That, you know, there was a lot of just misplaced passes and things like that, and it was obvious from whether you're watching on iFollow, sat in the stands, or wherever it was that people were watching or listening to the game, if they were maybe listening to that Reading commentary that I've heard a few people comment about, but obviously we won't go on that one.
I mean, to say it was partisan is a slight understatement. I mean, it was quite vocal against. I think somebody said at one point that our players should have been going to RADA for their acting skills, based on, you know, some of the performances and some of the stuff which we will come on to. But I thought we weren't at it. You know, we weren't 100% at it. You're absolutely right. I think the thing that confused me a little bit, or maybe not confused me, concerned me a little bit, was that it didn't seem like there was an obvious fix for it. Like, normally if something's going wrong or if something's not quite right, you can see, right, well, this is where the problem is. This is what we need to do to change it. And this is what we need to do to tweak it. But I mean, Reading were playing themselves into problems, to be fair. You know, there were a lot of passes across the back line, and there didn't seem to be a huge amount of urgency. And while we were pressing like we have done, it wasn't quite to the same level of intensity. And, you know, we didn't make the most of that, I think, in that first half. Yeah, it just, like you say, it just seemed like we weren't fully at it yesterday, and I can't put my finger on why.
I think there was a lot of talk during that 2-week break that we had that it could potentially derail a bit of momentum. And if you look at results, it hasn't. But we're not quite as fluid and sort of strong going forward as what we were beforehand. Obviously, you're not going to be as good as what we were beforehand for the rest of the season, because you can't go out and beat every opponent 5-6-0, which we would love that to be the case. But for me, it's just the misplaced passes that there was a lot of yesterday. And in the first half, we had 92 accurate passes, right? That's a 64% success rate. Reading, 259. Like, that's where the difference is won and lost. Right there, the midfield battle yesterday, our passes, trying to move the ball forward, trying to retain possession, just wasn't there. And don't get me wrong, fair play to Reading for that, because the way they set up was strong. They're a really, really good side. They're a lot better than what their league position states. That's two games against us now where they've been reasonably strong. And look, you can say that maybe it made us have to use some of the dark arts, you know, if you're one of their commentators, obviously. But we lacked that kind of killing edge quite early on. And it was evident from the get-go. I think Joe Taylor had, you know, only really one or two chances to be to be running in behind. Ben House didn't necessarily have a great game. There wasn't too many opportunities for him. He was obviously running and fighting for the ball as much as he always is, but Reading were quite good at moving the ball around at times as well to stop that from being the case, which, let's say, is evident by the amount of passes they were making and their success rate of the passes as well, with 84%. I mean, long balls, for example, they did more long balls than us in the first half, 44 to 36, but that's 44 attempted to 36 attempted, and they had a 61% success rate with that compared to our 36%. It's just those little things that, whatever it was, because, you know, we know that it didn't click. It's the very kind of obvious thing to say. We can see it from the eye test. But it's just kind of astonishing to me when I was looking at these stats this morning, kind of preparing for this, that it was quite so substantially lower than Reading and quite so substantially lower than anything else we've had recently, even against Leighton Orient and Carlisle, for example. So I really struggled to put my finger on what it was that we did poorly the other yesterday. And I mean, like I say, that it's the passes that I just keep on harping back to, because that pass success rate is far, far too low from us. And the amount of passes that we had all game is far, far too low. I mean, the six players who had the most amount of accurate passes in the game yesterday are all Reading players. So, like I say, it started from the first half. They did, of course, have a massive chance, but the great thing about us, we are a team full of fantastic goalkeepers, Lucas Jensen, Jordan Wright, and Jack Moylan.
Yeah, let's talk about that then. Because obviously, you know, the big, big moment in the half came when Reading went on the attack and, you know, the ball got played in. To be fair, a great save from Lucas Jensen, first and foremost. I think it was a reaction save. The commentary at the time, they likened it to kind of like a Schmeichel save from, you know, really, that's what he used to do, just smother the opposition, coming out, making himself big.
Well, Kasper Schmeichel, yeah.
No, his dad.
He had a dad that played. Sorry, before my time, mate.
Yeah, I know, you're a fetus, I keep forgetting that. So, yeah, like, you know, it was a really, really good save. But the ball comes back out, and, yeah, as soon as it hit Jack Moylan, I thought, that's a penalty. I know we had a little chat in the Stakes US Discord at the time, and I think we all sort of said, well, I think you in particular said that's, you can't give that as a handball, it's too close to his body. But then when you slow it down and you look back at it,
yeah,
it's like, you know,
the camera angle's not good enough though, because I can't see how outstretched the arm is.
No, but I mean, it is, to me, If a goalkeeper does that, you call it a fantastic reaction save. And I genuinely think we got away with that. And I don't think it was helped by the referee's positioning either, because if you look back at it, where the referee is, he's on the right-hand side of the penalty area,
yeah,
just outside the six-yard box. Now, if you're running your diagonals as a ref, realistically, you should be on the other side of the pitch at that point. You know, that's where you should probably be if you stick into quote unquote the rules of refereeing. But yeah, I think we definitely got away with that. And that really, really incensed the Reading fans after that. And I think it started to descend into a little bit of chaos. But I mean, you know, Jack kind of did what people in that situation do and made it look like it hit him in the face. So yeah, I think we got off. We really did get away with that, but I think it was a bit of a wake up call as well, where we really needed to shake ourselves together and you know, try and turn the screws a little bit on Reading. But sadly, we didn't really see too much of a reaction from that in the ways that I thought we would do. So yeah, I mean, your take on this, because I imagine that the word was going round in the stand pretty quick after that, sort of say, oh yeah, maybe that was a penalty or whatever.
Now, everyone I was sat with, we were like, not a penalty, surely not. You know, can't be a handball, that it's just it's his body, or he stuck his head in it. Like everybody's saying, oh, it just looks like he's put his head in the way. Like, that's brilliant, last man defending sort of thing. And then you put the video in the Discord. And I watched it. I'm thinking, okay, I'm not too sure on that one then. And then I showed it to people I were with. They all looked at it and went, ah, yeah. Yeah, that's a handball. Yeah. We got away with that. And do you know what, Matt, got away with? I always veer on the side of respecting the referee and kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt. And the positioning, like you say, that he was in probably helped us a little bit. And also the fact that it was such a reaction so close to the body, so close to the, where the ball was struck, that sort of thing. If you give that as a penalty, we would still be calling it a contentious decision right now. So I would say that it's pretty fair 50-50 either way. Maybe you could say that it was and VAR would have given it or wouldn't have or anything like this, but I don't think it was really that clear cut as either way.
I mean, I think the argument for me is if that happens at the other end of the field, we are apoplectic.
Oh, absolutely. That it doesn't get given. I will be the first person, if that was the case, to be absolutely screaming at the referee from the stands. Don't get me wrong. And I won't even be able to see it at the other end of the pitch. But it's one of those that I'm going to kind of sit here and be unbelievably sort of two-faced and hypocritical about it all and say, no, no, definitely, you know, it's a fair decision what he's done. And I'm not going to back down from that. Simple as that.
No, well, I mean, look, I'm delighted that it wasn't given, but I could easily see the frustration there. And I think maybe it's softened a little bit. I mean, I think Reading are pretty much safe at this point, are they? Yeah, I mean, they're what, 17, 6 points outside the drop zone. It's probably not going to happen for them this season in terms of going down. So, you know, to me, I think if it was a little bit more relevant to the team that were facing it. I mean, for example, the Smodic penalty against Peterborough the other year, like that clearly wasn't a penalty. Both teams were fighting for the same thing. And, you know, that was, in that instance, you think, right, okay, that decision potentially changes the course of a season or whatever. But yeah, we were really lucky with that one. So, but yeah, then I think the thing that was a little bit disheartening was that after that point, I felt like the referee started to lose his grip on the game a little bit. I think there were a lot of robust challenges going in on either side, but I think the thing that's really riled a lot of Reading fans up that I've seen online is our reaction to some of those challenges and kind of just how you mentioned the dark arts a little bit. I accept that we occasionally do need to play and use those dark arts to get the upper hand in a match, but it did feel a little bit like it was not quite on the level of Wickham, you know, the other season. But it did feel a little bit like we were potentially erring on that side of taking the piss a little bit at times.
I think that's I think that's a little bit too far. I think we were strong at game management. And yes. Is that unbelievably frustrating when it's the opposition team that are doing it? Absolutely. But sometimes if you're not getting the rub of the green, you have to just make the game a little bit stop-start. You have to be acting like that. It's not like we go out and do that every single week. And that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
You know what? I was going to come on here, and I still will, and I was going to praise Reading fans because, actually, I wasn't expecting much at all of an atmosphere yesterday. Something, you know, Lincoln fans chanting and that, and then maybe a little bit from the Reading fans. But actually, I thought the Majestic had a really, really good atmosphere. I think it helps with sort of the away fans being right next to the sort of the singing section of the home fans. I think it's a really, really good atmosphere. And then I went on social media this morning. I didn't go on social media more or less at all last night. I went on this morning, and the amount of hate that Lincoln seemed to be getting from Reading fans really shocked me. I'm thinking, well, because I didn't really notice any animosity, that's what I'm looking for, at all coming out of the ground or anything like that. It all just seemed, you know, draw fair. You know, let's all head out of here happy as can be, that sort of thing. So I was really shocked. And then, you know, I'm kind of looking back through it and looking back at the stats. And do you know what? I don't think it was as bad as the Dark Arts. You know, from their perspective, from the Reading side of it, they see it as, oh, well, they're doing it against us, so they must do it every single week. Mm. They'll be saying, oh, well, they're the same as Stevenage. But, you know, that's not the case. We've realised yesterday that actually we're being outplayed at certain points. So sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And, you know, I respect that more than going out and just trying to beat your opposition the one way that you've been doing recently and not changing it. I mean, that's what Michael Appleton was, you know, hounded for in his final season particularly, was his lack of adaptability. And if you had a Michael Appleton side who, you know, were strong at what he wanted them to do, but then he also was able to implement a sense of adaptability and being able to manage games better, he might even still be here. You never quite know on that. So it's strange. I think it's absolutely fine what we did, and I understand it from a Reading point of view, but I don't think it was bad at all. Not the way they're making it out to be.
No, I mean, I think there's a middle ground somewhere, isn't there? There's, you know, we were absolutely perfect, nothing wrong with it. And then on the other side of it, we were the worst team they've ever seen to be doing stuff like that. But yeah, I don't think either way. I don't know, there's something in the middle there. But I think what did surprise me more than anything else was that there weren't any yellow cards in the first half. Because it, like I said, it started to get really, really bitty and really scrappy towards the end of that half. And it felt like it was going to bubble over. And there were, I think, there were about three or four decisions in a row where it didn't seem initially clear what the referee had given. And I think whether that was a lack of communication from him to the players or just in general, it seemed like he was starting to just lose his grip on the game a little bit. And I thought this is going to get ugly very quickly. But yeah, I think that there was a spell of just towards half time. I think there was probably about three or four fouls. And then I think we had a corner and it came in and the ref blew up for half time. So it was, when he blew for half time initially, I thought, well, what's he given there? Like there wasn't that, you know, there was a bit of confusion there. But I think going in at half time, I was pretty steadfast in my belief. I thought, you know, I would take a point here. I think by that point, Oxford were one up, I believe.
Yes.
So we kind of had to rule that out a little bit and say, well, okay, we're going to be dropping out of the top six by at the end of the game unless we can salvage something from this or unless we can, you know, snag a winner. However, it just seemed to me that we weren't quite at the races yesterday. Maybe we could come out in the second half and really impact it like we have done in previous games and like Carlisle tried to do last week. So didn't quite go like that, did it?
No, I couldn't predict what was going to happen in the second half. Not at all. You know, watching the game, and you're just sort of thinking there's an opportunity potentially for us here to grab something if we come out stronger than what we have been doing. Scudala maybe gives them a bit of a kick up the arse, that sort of thing. But then at the same time, unbelievably worried because Reading have shown some strength, but they've only really created half chances themselves. That they're going to be feeling that they can nick something here as well. I thought there was going to be a goal in the game, so I wasn't too surprised when there was one, but I wasn't quite sure whether it was going to suddenly kick into life and there'd be a few or what. I did it, but like I said, I did actually expect there to be at least one goal. But like I say, it didn't necessarily happen, you know, us coming out all guns blazing. I mean, in the whole game. I mean, in the first half, right, Lincoln, 0.09 XG. Okay, everybody's favourite stat. So that means if we played that first half 10 times, we might score one goal. Now, the whole game, 0.25. Like, we shouldn't have really scored. But although I'm going to be honest, I actually totally disagree with that stat because, as we'll get to in a minute, the goal, I thought our goal was actually quite a good opportunity. It's better than 0.25 itself, but, you know, XG. Yeah. never liked it. But
I mean, thing is that kind of puts paid to my assessment of the first 15-20. I mean, I'm guessing at that point, you know, I'm really looking at things through rose tinted glasses because you're thinking, well, we started really brightly, and usually when we start brightly, we score and we tend to get on top in the game. But those stats suggest to me that okay. Maybe we didn't. Yeah. And I think from my point, it's probably that we like I said, we just needed that extra pass or maybe being a bit more clinical or pulling the trigger a little bit early. Yeah, it was didn't happen. A little bit frustrating. But then, yeah, coming out of the second half and we didn't go hell for leather as I thought we would do, did we?
No, we didn't. Just on your thing, by the way, we had, according to this, two shots in the first 20 minutes. One of them wildly off target, Ted Bishop, and then one of them was Joe Taylor from the edge of the box that was a shot on target in the 19th minute. And
that's why it took the deflection, wasn't it? And
yeah.
Yeah.
And for the record, that doesn't include Rico's in the early stages, which shot, cross, don't more quite know. They've obviously put it as a cross. I wasn't too sure what it was he was trying to do, but fair play sort of thing. So, yeah, no, we didn't come out all guns blazing. They came out probably a little bit stronger than what they were in the first half. And if anything, then our day, as far as I was concerned, got worsened on the 51st minute mark when Ben House had to go off the pitch injured.
Yeah, so I think this is another one where I've seen a few comments aimed at, at House for this one, where people were giving him a lot of stick at the time, going, oh, another bloody player's down and this, that, the other and all that. But when Ben House doesn't get up within, you know, a few seconds, then usually that should start triggering some alarm bells. And yeah, unfortunately, he had to leave the field, but it did mean that Freddie Draper got a chance to come on. I mean, hopefully, again, it's not one that Ben's going to be out for a while.
Hopefully.
I don't think it was asked about in the post-match either. So we'll have to wait for either news from the club or from Michael's press conference on Thursday this week to see what's happening with Ben House. But I think the thing that really struck me with that was when House went off. Earlier in the season, if our striker goes off, you know, that period between September and December, if the person that's up front goes off, you immediately think, ah, shit, that's it. That's the end of the game. Didn't feel like that yesterday. Still thought, you know, when you've got the likes of Freddie and Jovan on the bench, you think, oh, okay, well, we've got people that can change this game. And yeah, I think there was still a sense of hope that we could have done something in the game yesterday.
Yeah, at half time we had a discussion and it was this game probably needs a Freddie Draper or a Jovan. More of an out ball, somebody that can hold the ball up, flick something on for an on running Joe Taylor if there's an opportunity in behind. You know, not saying that Ben House can't do any of those things because he absolutely can, but it just seemed like we needed a little bit of a difference and we thought that Freddie Draper could bring that. So I was, on the one hand, glad to see him come on, but obviously not when it's for Ben House going off injured.
Yeah, happy with the result, but not the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. So that in itself was sort of a little bit disappointing, of course. But look, Freddie kind of proved my thinking at that half-time right when, what was it, the 71st minute, 72nd minute, when he managed to nod home his first league goal for Lincoln, as far as I'm aware. I'm trying to think. He has got one in the Papa John's, I think, a couple of years back. But his first league goal for Lincoln City, which really, really impressive for him to now have that. And hopefully that can kind of kickstart it on for him and he can have a bit of a confidence boost from that as well. But talking about the goal, it all starts, and I have to mention this, it all starts with an absolute peach of a diag from Alex Mitchell.
Yep.
What a ball. That people talk about Lewis Montsma's diagonals all the time, and they say that's the one thing we miss from not having Lewis Montsma in the squad. Alex Mitchell stepped up.
They were happening all through the game yesterday, to be fair, though. No matter who it was across the back, like Sean Rowan put a few across to Lass. Like say, Mitchell put a couple of really good ones across. And then, I mean, even Paddy O'Connor, who is not a player that you kind of associate with that kind of football. You know, it's kind of, I'll kick it and I'll let it. I'm not going to ping a beautiful, you know, 40-yard diagonal ball or 40-yard pass down the field. Yeah, really, really good stuff. And I think that was my only criticism yesterday was, well, my major criticism, I should say, was that we tended to maybe rely on that a little bit too much. And I think we just ended up finding the heads of the Reading defenders a little bit more often than we would have normally liked. But yeah, let's talk about the goal, because the ball comes up from Mitchell. Rico takes control of it. And my initial thought when Rico gets that ball is, oh, he's miscontrolled that. He's taken it a bit too far. Gets to the byline and you think, ah, fair enough, right, maybe we can still get something out of this. Plays it back, ends, finds its way to Ethan Irahan, who tees up Sean Rowan, puts the cross in, and Freddie Draper heads it in off the keeper's glove. Now, it was a moment of pure release when I think that went in, because again, we'd not really been at our best, and, you know, to quote Sean Ragger, not at our best today, but, you know, great performance. I just think it was a moment where you think, right, we can grind this out, we can do it. And we spoke after the Carlisle game about grinding results out, and, you know, the Orient game in particular. Winning ugly, I think, is the phrase that a lot of people are going to be using. And at that moment in time, when we, you know, when Draper scored, I genuinely thought, ah, is this going to be another winning ugly moment? Because it certainly looked like it. But yeah, absolutely delighted for Freddie. And one thing that I do really appreciate when, you know, when speaking to fans of opposition clubs, we don't rely on one player for all of our goals. We've said this all the way through the season. And with Freddie scoring yesterday, I think I said to you guys, that makes every single available player that is still at the football club, every single outfield player has now scored at least one goal this season. The only players that haven't, obviously we've got Jordan Wright, Lucas Jensen, probably not going to score. But the only players that haven't scored at the minute are Jack Burrows, Connor McGrandles, Tyler Walker, Jaden Brown and Oshin Gallagher. Now, obviously, Jaden Brown and Osh are off on loan. McGrandle's season's over. Tyler Walker's season's over. So the only one remaining player, I think, is Jack Burrows. Who was he on the bench yesterday? Or is he out at the minute? He was on the bench. Sorry, yeah. So there is one outfield player that hasn't scored this season for us in the league.
But he, I'm going to say, in all fairness to him, though, he has scored in the Papa John's, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, he
across even, all competitions.
Exactly. Yeah. So even if you want to take it across all comps, it is everybody available. I mean, what a stat that is in itself, you know, to have had, 28 players play league minutes for us this season. And all but, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them score. And that includes the two goalkeepers. Like, I mean, Lucas Jensen has to be given, next time we get a penalty, he has to be the one taking it now. Simple as that. just to try and boost it up. I tell you, last minute against Portsmouth, we need a victory. Nil nil. Rico's gone down. And Regan Poole's taken him out. I think Regan's in. And Lucas Jensen steps up.
We give him his Jimmy Glass moment.
Yeah, we can dream. We can dream. But anyway, back to the goal. Like I said, there was a massive release of emotion when that goal went in, and it was, I just jumped up and into everybody's arms and that sort of thing. It was just what a moment. But then, I was transported right back to Carlisle. I was transported right back to Northampton earlier in the season. I head in hands. I was a nervous wreck because you know what? 1-0. I never felt comfortable. Never. No. When we went in, there was about 30 seconds of release and relief, and just that. An overriding emotion of joy, you know. But then it kicks in like, shit, don't concede. and that's literally what it was for, obviously, 10 minutes. And then, I mean, it got worse after that, but for 10 minutes. And unfortunately, my worries were realised.
Yeah, so we will talk about that in just a second, but it is it's time for a very, very quick break. So we'll have that and then we'll come back and talk about the rest of the game.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
So there we go. And like you say, there was that fear, wasn't there? You get the fear. And going into games, I think we've said this previously, like we can't see where the next loss is going to come from. Before the game, obviously, you know, your feathers are out and you're feeling confident, your head's up and you think, we're not going to get beat. No one's going to take us down. And then you get the goal and you think, wait a minute. We're getting nervy now. We're getting a bit edgy. Like you say, Reading get a throw. The ball gets headed behind for a corner. And then from the resulting corner, the ball comes across. And it's the kind of goal that we were conceding time after time under Mark Kennedy, where I think at the time
we still...
Well, it is exactly the kind of goal that we conceded under Mark Kennedy. Yeah. You know, we kind of said at the time it's down to individual errors, and there wasn't a systemic problem with set pieces. Personally, and this is not just sounding salty for the sake of it, I think that goal yesterday came from a foul. If you look at the replay, because we did just before we came on air. If you look at the replay, Arahan's tangling with one of their players and he hits the deck. And that is a foul. However, and this goes back to what we were saying a little bit earlier on, I don't think Ethan's done himself any favours throughout the game. Because obviously he got a yellow card for mouthing off with an excellent hand signal from the referee, by the way, who just sort of, you know, just flashed the yellow card to nobody in particular, pointed at Ethan, and then, you know, gave it the chirpy cheap cheeps with his fingers.
So did he get yellowed?
Yes.
Yellow. Because everywhere that I'm looking hasn't got Ethan Arahan with a yellow card.
Actually, that's a really good point. It's not showing it on...
It's not showing,
not
it,
showing it on any of the stats.
Flash score. Yeah. None of them have Ethan Arahan with a yellow card.
Well, he definitely got carded.
Well, this is the thing, because as far as that was concerned, he got carded. So
that's really interesting. Yeah. I'd not picked up on that. I had it in my notes to talk about his yellow card, because again, to me, I think he's obviously on a wind up, and he's obviously said something to either another player or the ref, and he's giving it whatever it is he's giving. and he was probably one of the main culprits for the quote-unquote game management throughout the afternoon yesterday. And it is something that I've mentioned before. I remember speaking to Chris on here and saying, you know, that as much as I love Ethan Arahan, and I, you know, he is probably one of my players of the season this year by quite a distance, I just think sometimes that side of the game just needs to be wound in a little bit, particularly when you're in a game such as yesterday, where it's there's going to be contention, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be issues, there's going to be fans getting riled because people are getting fouled when they're not seeing it that way. And I just thought, yeah, it takes a little bit of the sting out of his game once he gets that yellow card, because he then can't do some of the stuff that we love to see him do. You know, he can't go in for those challenges. But I think him going down just before that corner came in yesterday, if that happens in the fifth minute of the game, it's given as a foul. I just think it was, you know, one of those where the ref seen him being in those positions throughout the rest of the game and going, oh, yeah, that's not a foul, up you get. Oh, they've scored. But it felt like a really sloppy goal to concede, and it was just that momentary lapse in concentration combined with Arahan being on the floor. Yeah, so frustrating to watch. And it felt, in that moment, I suddenly felt really, really deflated. It almost felt like we'd been beaten. Like, it felt like the final whistle had gone and we'd been beaten in that moment. Because it was just, we've gone from... We've gone from seventh to sixth, back to seventh in the blink of an eye. And it just felt really, really upsetting.
Agreed. It was a massive feeling of deflation as soon as that goal went in. And unfortunately, I wasn't actually that surprised when they scored. Mm-hmm. You know, even when we were sort of 1-0 up, and we know how strong our defensive record is this season, it still is, oh crap, I'm expecting, waiting for this to happen. Mm-hmm. And then for it to be a goal that was conceded in that manner just makes it all the more painful, because as you say, it is a goal that under Mark Kennedy we're conceding 10 times a season. Mm-hmm. Not slating Mark Kennedy, but just the way the team had been set up, for example, the first half of this season, for those sort of first couple of months when he was still in charge, unfortunately they were goals that we were conceding quite regularly, and it was a real, real shame to kind of go back to that level, you know, that lapse in concentration and to concede the goal. I mean, look, Ethan's obviously got his man there that he should be marking. He's pulled to the ground. He's pushed to the ground. He's whatever it is to the ground. Basically, he's sat on his bottom when the cross comes in. The defender effectively has a free header that they're able to put away. I mean, look, you can sit there and say keeper needs to do better, defence needs to do better, all of this. It's not one person. There's not one thing in that. Like, yes, okay, maybe there is a foul in there. But the lads will just have to take collective responsibility, make sure that doesn't happen again in this running, because silly goals like that could end up being what costs us either a playoff place or, you know, a promotion spot if that were to happen in the playoffs, for example. So certainly a little bit of a worry with that. But look, again, at the end of the day, we held on after that goal was conceded. The lads kind of regrouped. Yes, Reading had a few more chances. We really didn't have many more chances. It didn't look like we were going to go on and win the game again after conceding that goal, if I'm honest. No. But it did look like Reading could snatch it, but they didn't. We regrouped. And you know what? The lads will be pleased with the draw. The manager will be pleased with a draw. I mean, as fans, we're going to have to be pleased with a draw, because at the end of the day, it keeps a 16-game unbeaten run going. It's a draw away at Reading, who are a strong, strong side. Like, yes, okay, they might have lost 5-2 to Bolton last week, but they're still a really, really strong side, much better than that league position suggests. Over two games this season, they have probably bested us in both of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that at all.
No. So, you know, and to be fair, yesterday's performance was probably a little bit more sort of reminiscent of that game against Reading back in December, where we didn't necessarily show too much in that, obviously, apart from that early goal from Bish. So, look, like I say, I felt really deflated at the time, But then I walked out the ground, quite chirpy, you know, again, reasonably happy, take the draw, and that was kind of the overriding feeling. Got into town and then was more than happy again, you know. So it's just,
yeah, but it's easy to say you're more than happy when you're 8 pints deep, Charlie.
Oh, it's a lot easier to say, yeah, yeah, and that's only the pints. We'll ignore the Jaegers.
Christ, oh dear, but yeah, like, look, I think we said it that you know, going into the game yesterday, a point would have been a good result for us, you know, irrespective of what happens elsewhere. I just think that the frustration and that gut punch feeling has just come from the fact that other teams' results have maybe, you know, done us in a little bit. I think going back to what myself and Chris said on with our, you know, look ahead to the running, I think we both had Oxford winning the last three games. We both said that we would win two and you know, probably draw against Reading. But then I think we've got, you know, we've said that Oxford will potentially, you know, not get anything from Saturday. Because let's not forget, they've got Peterborough on Saturday. So, you know, let's move away from the game then. I mean, I think it was, I think a point was a fair result on the day. I think, you know, nobody would have begrudged us a point. And even though you look at the stats and they had 11 shots, we only had 4 shots all game. But, you know, I think we didn't deserve to lose the game yesterday at all. So, yeah, let's look at the rest of the running then. Obviously, some of the other results from yesterday. Where are we? So, Oxford obviously beat Burton 4-0. We had Stevenage losing 1-0 to Exeter and Blackpool beating Cambridge. So I think it's probably fair to say the wheels have come off Stevenage a little bit.
Yeah, Stevenage are out of it.
Yep.
I'm in a group chat now with one Blackpool fan, one Oxford fan, one Stevenage fan. And obviously it's just a constant bit of back and forth over the past couple of weeks, you know, as I'm sure you can imagine. But Stevenage fan yesterday went, yeah, we're out of it, lads. Good luck. But you know what? We don't care. We've just, what a season we've had. We've enjoyed it. We'll enjoy it for the rest of the season. And, you know, that's fair play to them. They've overachieved this season when you think about it. They've built a decent enough squad. And, you know, they'll still be in a decent enough place next season with Mr. Blobby in charge. So fair play to them. They're out of it. Blackpool, it was a must-needed victory for them yesterday. Because I said going into, you know, after the international break that it was going to be us versus Blackpool for sixth place. I really didn't think Oxford were actually going to be part of it, and I knew Stevenage wouldn't. But actually, in hindsight, Blackpool have dropped out of it because that draw, specifically that draw against, Wickham on Monday, that like really took it out of them for me because they needed to get 9 points.
I think they came off the back of defeats to Wigan and Derby, didn't they? And they really needed to get that 3 points. But
bearing in mind, they were both away games and their away form is considerably poorer. But their home form obviously being stronger, I thought, right, well, they've got three very, very winnable home matches in a row, Wickham, Cambridge and Fleetwood. They realistically have to be getting 9 points in that if they want to stay up. Because like even if you look at the end of the season, that yes, they played Barnsley at home, sure, but then away to Reading on the last day of the season. I mean, look, Blackpool's win yesterday potentially keeps them in it, but not really that much. That probably looks like it's us versus Oxford. And Oxford, they're running, as you mentioned, them playing Peterborough on Saturday is, of course, massive. But it's not just that Peterborough game. It's the fact that they play Peterborough, then us on the Tuesday night, and then Stevenage on the Friday night. I mean, that's three massive games in the space of 6 days. Yeah, so for them, those three games are going to make or break their season. Simple as that. Now, the only obviously slight worry is at the moment, a draw in our game against them favours them. You know, realistically for us now, it's a must win rather than a must not lose. But the complexion of that could totally change again this time next week if Peterborough go ahead and beat Oxford and we beat Wigan and we're then in the driving seat again. So,
yeah,
there's so many different ways it could work out. We already know that that game down at the Kasam is going to be absolutely massive for our chances this season. And it's one that this week that the coaches are probably going to be focusing on just as much as Wigan. You know, not sacrificing Wigan in any way, shape or form, but they'll have to be having one eye on that Oxford game, knowing how big it is. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a cracking game. But exactly what a result in that and what the different results in that will mean to us will fully depend on what happens this Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, I mean, at the minute, it's a bit harder to enjoy the ride when we were in control and then all of a sudden it looks like we're not on, you know, when you look at the table. But like you said earlier, we're still 16 games unbeaten, which is a run that I can't remember the last time we had anything remotely like this. Probably National League winning season. I think we won 10 games on the trot, didn't we?
Yeah, didn't we have 19? Did we go 19 unbeaten in a title winning season of League Two
as well? Yeah. But, you know,
I don't know. That's purely off what Gaz said the other day. So now, if he's wrong, he's made me look like a right.
Well, you know, but look, I think it's just been a ridiculous run. And I didn't think we'd see it after Christmas, you know, going into the new year. I don't think anybody expected anywhere near this. But I think we were talking about stuff the other day, weren't we? And we said, I think the biggest frustration is how nervous we all feel now. Because 3 weeks ago, there was a little bit of flippancy to it, wasn't there? There was kind of, oh, playoffs, yeah, not a problem, we'll do all right. And yeah, we'll get them, it'll be great. Because in the back of your mind, you're thinking, is there still a chance of this? it was a very much an outside bet. Now, all of a sudden, we're in control of it. And you start to just feel the nerves start to pinch you a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you think the nerves are starting to bite? I sit there and my seat shaking now. I preferred it when we were 15 points behind.
So, ultimately, we're still in control of this. Like, it is still in our hands as to whether we can, you know, finish where we want to finish at the end of the season. We will obviously be looking ahead to Wigan on Saturday. On Thursday's podcast, I believe it's Chris and Gaz, or is it you and Gaz?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I don't look at the spreadsheet.
So, obviously, you know, we'll be looking ahead to that. I think I'm going to be jumping on with a Wigan fan and doing a preview at some point this week so that that's all up and in the podcast as well. But I think that's it in terms of the game. Other stuff that is going on this week, I'm trying to think. There's not been a huge amount of news from the club. I mean, obviously, I think the season ticket news was discussed, I think, on the pod. So 5,000 season tickets sold in April. That's mad. Absolute madness. I remember when we were excited to get 2,000 sold. And that was just a few years ago. So hopefully everyone's still on board with this at the start of next season. We'll be able to really push on. And wherever we are, I mean, I think Gaz pointed out it could be the cheapest championship season ticket if we do go up, which, yeah, is fantastic stuff. And then the other thing from the club is the darts night tomorrow night, which I'm tempted by. I'm not going to lie, I'm tempted to pop along and see what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's is it a tenner to go and watch?
Yes, and 50 to play. I wanted to, but then physio turned around and said we had far too many injuries this season, and they wouldn't let me.
Sorry, lads, Rico's not playing on Saturday. Why? He's got a dart stuck in his thigh somehow.
whilst we're wrapping up, there is something else that we should mention. Fair play, Lincoln United. Close but no cigar. What was it? Was it 10-9 on penalties? Such a shame for them.
Yeah, Radio Lincolnshire cut to Ashby Avenue as soon as the game had finished yesterday, and it literally just finished there as well. So it then went to the penalties, and I think Lincoln United missed the first two, which then immediately made you think, "Oh, here we go! It's going to be a nightmare one." And then they got it back to being completely level. I think the keeper saved the third and fourth ones. So it then basically became sudden death at that point. And it went all the way round. I think both goalkeepers took penalties and both goalkeepers scored them. And then on the other way round, I think it was Matt Cotton put the penalty wide.
Yeah.
Phenomenal run. It's just a bit of a gut punch that they've not managed to get to the final, but
let's hope it's not an omen. A Lincoln side just missing out on a trip to Wembley.
That's all right. We'll have one going. I was a little bit concerned because I thought, two trips to Wembley is going to be an expensive one. And hopefully it will now just be the one. But yeah, like you say, phenomenal effort from everybody involved there. Let's hope they can go one better next season, I guess.
Too right.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's only really one other thing that we need to talk about a little bit, and that is obviously it is Sunday the 7th today, Charlie. In 7 days' time, we will be...
Oh, yeah, we're running.
We will be nursing sore legs at this point in the day, hopefully in the Magna Carta with a pint. So, obviously, yeah, it's the Lincoln 10K next week. I think this is the hardest thing I have ever done. And I've taken it as seriously as I possibly can. I've done all my training. That's a lie, isn't it, Charlie?
No, I've taken it seriously. I have trained.
Okay.
I've trained.
When you say trained, that doesn't mean got the train to Reading and drank 9 pints plus Jägermeisters.
Who would have capped me at 9? I mean, yes.
So, look, yeah, I mean, it's been ridiculously hard for a man that was in no shape at all in December when we decided to do this. I say decided to do this, got railroaded into it.
Who on earth said that we should do it?
But look, it's been really good. I know it's probably not a massive thing to a lot of people. It's I think I had a friend sign up yesterday. Went, sod it, I'll do it. I was like, oh, great, cool. But yeah, it's been a huge undertaking. If you have, if you have got a few quid spare, head to the site, head to the blog, and there's a couple of posts on there which outline how we've been doing, basically. And yeah, chuck a couple of quid in, and it will all go to Lincoln City Foundation. I think we've gone well over £1,000 at this point now, with the running tops as well. All of it is going into the pot to support the foundation. And Gaz and Chris will be somewhere ahead of myself and Charlie, I imagine. They'll be sprinting the whole thing, probably. Chris is fit enough, isn't he? I don't know. But yeah, myself and Charlie will be running together as Charlie needs a good set of eyes. So why he's choosing me, I don't really know.
And I told you I just needed a big target, and then you went ahead and lost a load of weight, so now my plan's screwed.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it in a weird way.
I'm looking forward for it being done. No, it'll be really, really good. It'll be absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. But afterwards it'll be a real high, absolutely. So it'll be really good.
Yeah, I mean it's been I mean a lot of pain. A lot of pain.
Will you carry on running after the 10K is done?
I might give it a week or two, but I do need to make sure that I continue to attempt to keep myself fit at least. Yeah. I've noticed a big change. I've noticed a lot of people, have said the same thing. And it's been good. Like, I've needed to do it for a long time. I've needed to get myself, in relatively decent shape. I'm still not quite there. I'm still, st- still in a certain section of the BMI scale that would probably be disappointing to a lot of people. But
right, you know, it's about the BMI scale. It's about how you feel in yourself. And by doing this, if you've been feeling better, then that's all you needed.
Yeah, it's been good. But yeah, hopefully won't die on Sunday next week, and we'll get across the line and all will be well. But I don't think genuinely there's anything else that we need to plug. I'm just trying to think. Imptoon's yearbooks will probably be up for pre-orders soon. I know that the gold ones have either gone off sale now or will be off sale by the time this goes out. Yeah, make sure you get your hands on those if you can. But I don't think there's anything else to talk about from the club this week. So there's only one thing left to say. Up the Imps.
Up the Imps.
So 90th minute, and all your mates around watching the Imps on iFollow. You've got your McNugget share boxes on the go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, but then you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.